If you'll stand, we're going to be preaching or trying to from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. And we'll read about 8 verses there if you'll follow along with us in the Word of God. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, start reading with verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. I used to think that ought to say it told her all the answers. But he said he told her all of her questions. Thank God for that. I'm glad we got somebody smart enough to know what the questions are. He told her all of her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cup barrels also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report, which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice." Father, would you bless the preaching now tonight? We need your help, dear God. We've heard a lot of great preaching, and we thank you for all of it. Now, Lord, we need your help tonight for our time, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit would show us what we want to bring forth tonight and help us with it. And, Lord, bless some heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll let you be seated there. I'm probably not going to tell you what I'm preaching on until I get about through, if that's all right with you. Sometimes, you know, I tell folks my introduction's longer than my sermon. And I learned not to apologize for that, because I've been blessed a lot of times with somebody's introduction. But now, I want to use, base my thoughts upon verse number 6. "Howbeit I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." Now, all of you know the story of how Solomon came to be king over Israel. I'll not go into that. But when he was just a young, tender boy, God came to him in a vision one night. And he said, "Solomon, you're king, and you're over a great people. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want you to tell me what your desire is. And whatever you desire and ask me, I will give it to you." And the scripture kind of indicates that there wasn't any hesitation about that, because Solomon said, "Lord, I'm just a young boy. I'm not very old. I'm tender. And you've got a great people here, a great and holy people. And Lord, if it's all right with you, if you would give me wisdom to lead your people in and out and be the king that they need, then Lord, that is what I desire of God." And the Bible said that pleased God. And he said, Solomon, because you have asked for something that has to do with the spiritual leadership of Israel, I will not only grant you your request, but he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody else has ever had. And on top of that, I'm going to give you riches untold. And God did both of them. Now, what we've read here tonight is the good part of Solomon's life. I'm not going to deal with the last 20 years of his life. If we could have cut the story off the first 20 years, you'd have had a wonderful story of Solomon. But you find later on he kind of messed up and through the things that he was involved in. But now, if you look at our text here, it said that the fame of Solomon spread everywhere. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 31, it says he was wiser than all men. I'm talking about the magicians, the sorcerers, anybody that had wisdom, the wisdom of these. It said that he was wiser than all men. Everybody came to hear Solomon. Now in 1 Kings chapter number 4, also it says that his fame spread through all the nations of the world, and everywhere you went upon this earth, there was somebody that had heard of the fame of Solomon. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 32, it says that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. Man, isn't that wonderful? He wrote 3,000 proverbs. Proverbs, you read a bunch of them. You read a bunch of those little sayings. In fact, some of you young men ought to go read the first 7-8 chapters of the book of 1 Solomon. Book of Proverbs, rather. And every time you read these words, my son, underline that, because it'll keep you from a lot of heartache if you'll listen to the Proverbs of Solomon. He wrote, the Bible said he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Now, on top of that, the scripture said that he wrote 1,000 now, not 100, but said that he wrote 1,005 songs. Man, what a man this was. What a person this was. And one day, God tested his wisdom. There were two women that had a baby, both of them on the same night. And the Bible said that they went to bed that night, and as they were sleeping, that one mother rolled over on her baby and smashed the life out of it. And when she rose in the morning and saw that baby was dead, she took the live baby from the other mother and put her dead baby in the arms of that other mother. And when the mother whose baby was still alive awoke, she discerned that this is not my baby, and she brought it to Solomon. And you know the story. And Solomon said, is it yours? No, this is mine. Hers is dead. But the mother whose the baby belonged to, her heart yearned for it. And she and Solomon, when he said, I tell you how we're going to resolve this, you bring me a sword, and we'll cut that baby in half. You've heard that parable many times, that story many times, haven't you? We'll cut that baby in half, and we'll give half to each one of you. And the real mother, the Bible said that her heart yearned for her child. And she said, oh no, don't do that. You let her have the baby. You let her take the baby. And the Bible said Solomon was such a wise man that he discerned from the yearning heart that baby belonged to that woman. And he gave that baby to its real mother. Now, I'm talking about the wisdom of Solomon. Way down yonder in a far off land, one day, somebody sitting in the king's palace said, you know, we hear there's somebody over there in Israel. Shoo, boy, he's got wisdom. Have you heard about him? No, Just a few rumors. What have you heard? Well, I've heard that this man's got wisdom unlike anybody else ever had. Why, they tell me that they brought a baby to him one time. And this man had such great wisdom that he discerned who the baby belonged to. And we've heard that this man has such great wisdom that he has so many proverbs and saying that people are going and sitting at his feet to hear what he's got to say. You reckon that's real? You reckon that's really true? Find out what you can about it. And people come back and said, Queen, it's the truth.
Yeah.
They say there's nobody like him. Right. Y'all still with me now? Y'all ain't left me, have you? They say there's nobody like him. They say he's the smartest man we've ever heard. They say this man, he can tell things and explain things and divide things, and he has understanding so overwhelming that people sit there with their mouth open listening to him as he displays his great wisdom. You reckon it's true? Well, why don't we go over there and hear for ourselves? And so Queen Sheba agrees to that. And she comes over there and she gets in Solomon's palace and begins to sit at his feet. And lo and behold, he's telling her what her questions are. Hey man, that's good, isn't it? I a lot of times know what the questions are that need to be asked. And then I have a lot of people ask me questions, don't want a real answer to them. Y'all have seen people like that, don't want a real answer. And old Solomon sitting there, and the Bible said that there he communed with her, and everything that she thought and desired to know, he said there was not a single thing that was hid from him. And when she saw his servants and his cupbearers and the ministers and how they were dressed and all the worship and all the service that was rendered, the Bible said that all of her questions were answered. And she had no more spirit in her. And she said, you know what? Said, I came over here and the half has not been told. Now let me stop right here just a minute. Solomon is a type of Christ. The book of Matthew chapter number 12 said the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment against this generation and condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There's somebody better than Solomon on the scene. A greater than Solomon. And the Bible said, I consider the lilies, for they sow not, neither do they toil. And yet I say that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed unto one like those little lilies. And God uses Solomon as an illustration of the Son of God. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to preach from the negative standpoint. A lot of y'all don't like negative preachers. But I'm going to go ahead and admit it tonight. Here's my sermon title. I can't tell y'all of it. When I get through tonight, there's going to be a whole lot more.
Right.
Amen. We've heard a lot of great preaching tonight, this week, haven't we? Amen. I promise you, every preacher that preached, they went home and they'll go home tonight saying, boy, I didn't even touch the hem of the garment. I'll tell you, I didn't tell half of it. I couldn't give you all of him. I will tell you, 40 years ago, Brother Richardson, 40 years ago, September the 6th, 1964, I surrendered to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been preaching it for years. And every time I've sat down upon my pew after I got through, I felt like I didn't even get started. I felt like I didn't preach nothing. I felt like there's a whole bunch more that I could have said. I felt like there's a whole lot about him that I could have declared upon to you, but I just keep on preaching it. And every time I get through, I say, well, you didn't get it all. Some of y'all think you already know it all. You ever see these know-it-alls in church? Can't teach them nothing. They don't know anything. They don't know anything, and they think they know everything. I've learned one thing about preaching. The more I study the Bible, the less I know about it. I've been digging gold out of them hills for years. Amen. And I feel like I'm about to hit the big vein. Y'all feel that way? Hey, Brother Goodman, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I feel like I'm about to hit the big vein. I feel like I'm about to strike it rich upon the next dig. And I will tell you something. This woman came and sat down at his feet. And after she got up, she said, oh, I tell you what. Everything you said about him was the truth. It was true exactly like you said it, but you came up short on it because you didn't tell us half of it. And there was no more spirit within her. Now, let me say this. She has reached a land in her life where there's somebody that has all the answers for her questions. And I won't tell you tonight, I know somebody that has all the answers. Now, sometimes I don't know what the questions are, but I tell you one thing, if I knew all the questions, I know he'd have the answer for them. Because I can't tell you the half of it. And when I get through tonight, I haven't told y'all of it. So don't y'all run out of here and throw your books away. Don't y'all quit going to church. Think you've learned it all. Amen. I got people at our church that are so spiritual, all they need is a half an hour a week. Yes, sir. Y'all know them kind, don't you? That they show up just in time for preaching service. Sometimes not preaching in Sunday school. But they got enough out of Sunday school, they don't have to stay for preaching. Sometimes they didn't need Sunday school, they came for preaching. Didn't need no more the rest of the week. Got all they needed right there. I've been going to church ever since I got saved, and I've never got enough. I'm still hungry to know more about the Son of God. I'll tell you, I worry about people that's got a little cup that doesn't hold much and doesn't take much to fill it up, but it also doesn't take much to empty it out. I worry about people that has such a small capacity to receive what God has for you. Now, let me show you a few things about this woman. You can tell somebody's hunger for God. Listen very closely. I'll get somebody, I'll help somebody here if you listen to me. You'll discern somebody's hunger for God if you can see what distance they're willing to travel to get it. I told Brother Dixon, I could pick out 15 sermons this week that I've driven all the way over here from Somerset, Kentucky just to hear that one. Yes. Amen, Brother Richardson. I sat back there. I guess it's the first one I heard. I said, boy, that's worth a trip. Then the Lord poured on some more. Whew, I said, boy, that's good too, wasn't it? Have y'all been like I have this week? Boy, that's good, wasn't it? Man, I tell you, that was rich. Phew, didn't seem like he preached that long. I wonder why he quit right there. You understand? I'll tell you, if you are a spiritual person, distance doesn't matter to you. I drove 700 miles one time to hear B.R. Lakin preach. Cried all the way home. Oh my. Yes, sir. I was sitting right over here on this. No, I was sitting right there. I told somebody this other day. I came over here. I was dry. It's 12 or 13 years ago. I was dry and worn out and heavy laden and just down and didn't have no fire and no spirit and no hunger and no thirsting for God. And I got over here and I was sitting right there in that seat. And Brother Bob Lamb got up there and started preaching. He hadn't preached 15 words. I started squalling. And it was good that day. But I tell you what was better than what he was doing. What was better was what God was doing in me that day. And I've gone back there, Brother Richardson. You remember that sermon he preached when his wife had cancer and a little baby born with a deformity of body, and he had some boys over in Desert Storm, and Brother Bob was under burden, and he got up here preaching. His heart was broken, and when I saw a broken heart, it broke my heart. And I went all the way home that time and said, boy, phew, that was good. I got what I needed.
Yeah.
Has anybody here this week got what you needed?
Oh,
I've got some things I needed this week. Oh, yes. The distance won't matter to you. I know people drive 200 miles to a ball game, won't drive 2 miles to a good church. Amen. Pray. Come on. Y'all get with me now. I know people that drive, you know, our little old town, they'll drive 75 miles to work at Toyota in Georgetown and won't go to church in 5 minutes of the house that preaches the Word of God. You got your priorities mixed up.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather drive 75 miles to church if I had to.
Yes, sir.
And 5 minutes to work. If I had to choose to get my soul fed. Amen. Yes, sir. Now listen at me. I'm preaching the truth to you. I told my wife, I said, when I go back home, I'll be kicked off the radio station. I was preaching on the... Well, I didn't really get in politics, but I did. I didn't mention no names, but you'd known who I was talking about. I said, we got some of the clearest choices this year we've ever had. We got a conservative and a liberal.
Yes.
And you don't even have to have a lick of sense to know which one's which. And I got on the radio and I said, I don't have to hear a debate. I don't know how I have to know how many is laid off. I don't know have to know what the unemployment is. I don't have to know how many factory jobs we've lost. I don't know how many soldiers we've had killed. I don't have to know any of that. I know that a Christian ought not to vote for somebody who believes in abortion. It's not about money, it's about morals. It's about character. It's about somebody that has some principles. And I was preaching on old Saul and David, you know, David being God's man and Saul being people's man, and old Saul was flip-floppy.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds familiar. Saul goes out to battle and they say, Saul, we're going to worship God, aren't we? Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's see what the people want.
Yeah.
And so we throw the straw up in the wind, and whichever way it blows, there we go. If war is popular, we're for it. If we're going through a little adversity, we're against it. Flip-floppy.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of flip-floppy Christians.
Yep.
They don't have any principle or character to stand upon. And I will tell you, this woman was willing to go a great distance to see whether what she heard was the truth. Remember one night, Dad said to Mom, said, Mom, we're going over to Lachlan Baptist Church to revival. Mom said, well, that's an hour. Dad said, I don't care if it's 2 hours. We're going to go over and hear that man preach. And we went every night. And because Dad didn't care about distance, I wound up meeting my Solomon. And when I got over there and heard about my Solomon, I said, boy, isn't he good? Man, I didn't know he was like that. Man, what a person that is. Oh, what a Savior that is. And I'll tell you what, ever since I got saved, distance meant nothing to me. Thank God, distance means nothing to somebody that's hungry for a blessing from God and hungry to hear what God has to say and hungry to hear the wisdom of God. Distance means nothing to you. But you know what drove her to that distance? There was a desire in her heart. I wonder if it's real. I wonder if it's all true. You reckon we ought to go over there and find out? And I believe she may have wrestled with that. And she said, oh boy, you know, my curiosity is raised. Oh, I'd like to know if that church is real on Sunday like that. I'd like to know if that preacher preaches in his pulpit like that. I'd like to know where that guy lives it on the work tomorrow when he goes to work. And your curiosity ought to drive your desire to seek the truth. She wanted to know the truth. And I'm glad when you get to wanting to know the truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm glad that if you desire to know the truth, you'll find out the truth. A lot of people don't want the truth when they get it. That's the truth. It's not the problem. This book is the truth. I don't care who's preaching it. This book is the truth. A lot of people don't want the truth. They want something to tickle their ears and their sin. And they don't want something that'll reject their worldly life and their worldly standards. They want something to tickle the ears. But a person that's willing to know the truth. Her desire drove her to find out the truth. And let me say in another point there, she gets over there and she gets a first-hand demonstration of his wisdom. I tell you, when I got to where the Lord and the Holy Spirit and old-time Bible preaching was, I was amazed to find out how much that preacher knew about me. Man. He called me some things I hadn't been called before. It's almost like he read my mind. It's almost like somebody wrote out a little pad and pencil pad some of the things that I was thinking and doing. And I was sitting there saying, well, I wonder who told him that. Yeah. I don't know him. Yeah. He ain't never been to our house, but he had been to our house through the Word of God. This is a wise book you're holding in your hand. It reads you, yes. It reads you like an open page. Oh, she got over there and he demonstrated what he knew about him. Hey, old guy, I was preaching on, he's pointing back there and said, you're a sinner. And I thought he spoke speaking right to me. Yeah. You ever see preachers point fingers like that and you think it's right at you? He'd be pointing up that way and you, listen, I've sat on the preachers that preach looking at the ceiling. And I thought they's looking at me. If you ever get on the Holy Ghost conviction, it will describe your life in detail. I don't care who's preaching the truth. The truth will set you free. And this woman got over there, and there was a demonstration of his great wisdom. He told her all of her questions. Every one of them. And when he began to tell her, her spirit just began to wilt inside of her. I remember when that happened to me. All of my excuses and all of my reasons and all them hypocrites and all them people that wasn't living didn't mean nothing no more. Because that night, God wilted my spirit and I saw me. You'll never get saved till you see you. You won't ever get saved till you see you. You won't get, we're getting ready to have revival. And I tell I said, ain't a doubt in my mind. Ain't a doubt in my mind. We got people at Saline Baptist Church right now saying this. Boy, I hope we can get so-and-so to church so they can get right with God. And you ain't never going to have revival like that. Everybody knows who needs it. But I'll tell you, revival comes when you put the spotlight on yourself and you're not worried about who else needs it. You're wanting something from God. And I'll tell you, this woman was wanting to find out for herself. And when she got there, she found out what she wanted to know. And her spirit wilted. Now, she wound up, her delight was in Solomon. Isn't that a blessing? She delighted in what she heard. Now, I told you this. I won't tell you all of it tonight. You're going to go home tonight and there'll be some things that you're still wrestling over in your mind. You say, boy, Brother Broughton didn't touch that. Brother Broughton didn't cover that. Preacher before him didn't cover that. I was hoping I could find discernment on this right here. I was hoping somebody would get up and preach that. But you may not have gotten it all this week. And let me give you an illustration of that. I've been preaching my Solomon's greatness for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he's greater than I've ever preached
yes.
him.
Yeah.
I could get up here tonight and I could tell you Psalms 48 says, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Oh, I could preach he's a great God. I could preach here tonight
yeah.
that great peace have they who love the Lord, yeah. the law of the Lord, nothing shall offend them. I could get up here tonight and preach. I could preach, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And after I have preached all of his greatness, you'll have to go saw him saying, shoot, that Brother Broughton, he came up so short.
Short.
Well, he's twice better than that.
Yeah.
You know, she said the half hadn't been told.
Yeah.
What she's saying is I got over here and he's twice better than what they told me was. He far exceeds what he's preached on. Hey, for 40 years, I have been preaching the goodness of God. God is good to those that trust in him.
Yeah.
I've even preached Durbin's sermon every now and then. Yeah.
Sure.
Durbin's got a sermon, 3 points we call it. Number one, God is good. That's true. His second point was, God is real good. That's real good. That's true. And we gave him the third point, God has been good for a long time. They're all true. And if he ever adds a fourth point to that, it'll be good too. God is good. But after I've told you his goodness, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God is good to all them that trust in him. David said, I had fainted except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And after I've preached everything I know on his goodness, you'll have to go away saying, preacher, you didn't tell all of it. Because he may have expressed some goodness to you that I'm not aware of yet. Let me see your hands here tonight. How many of you right now can remember some goodness of God towards you? Boy, it came at the right time, didn't it? It came at the right time, didn't it? Thank God for his goodness. Hey, I've been preaching his grace for 40 years. I've been preaching this. I've been preaching that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Hey, man, that's a good one, isn't it? I have preached this and I have experienced this. His grace is sufficient. In my weakness, his grace is sufficient. I've been preaching this. He's able to make all grace to abound abound unto you. But every time I've got through preaching on grace, I felt like I didn't tell half of it. I can't tell it all. It's just so great and awesome and mighty, and it exceeds anything that I've ever been able to describe. We got Brother Coffee stands up and testifies in our church, and I've heard him say many times, he said, "Brother Broughton, I wish I could put into words what the Lord means to me. But," he said, "I just can't find words to say it like I want to say it." You know what he's saying? The half's not been told. I've been preaching this gospel for 40 years, and I never felt like I preached it good. The gospel. Now think about this, the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection. I wonder how many of us have even touched the hem of the garment of the depth of those three truths. Why, if we got to preaching on his death, we'd come up so far short. Y'all remember when you used to hear about him dying and y'all just sit there and cry and snot and tears roll down your eyes, and you somebody get up and preach on the cross and man, you just get tore all to pieces. What happened to that? It's greater than it was when it made you cry. It's greater than that. I'm talking about his gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth that. And I want to tell you, I've been preaching it for 40 years, and every time I preach it, I say, "Oh, I came up short telling what it was all about." I've been preaching about his glory. Glory of God. And I feel like, now just be honest with you. I'm being honest with you now tonight. Now y'all be honest with me when we get to stand up here in a minute. You be honest with me. I feel like that I know very little about his glory. I've entered into parts of it. Boy, I tell you, I've had some glorious services. But I wonder if I could really stand it if I saw what Moses saw. Moses saw the hinder part. Yeah. And they had to cover his face for months. Yeah. And he didn't even know his face was shining. The Bible said his face was shining. They had to go get a veil and put it on him. And after I've preached his glory, I feel like that I didn't even touch it. Didn't even tell the half of it. Now, she came to see Solomon. I came this week to see Jesus. Oh, I've got some good glimpses of him this week.
Yeah.
Man, I can go home. Now, I tell you what we'll do for the next 3 hours, going home, 3.5 hours. We'll get in them two vans and head over across the Cumberland Parkway, and somebody say, "Boy, wasn't that good what so-and-so said." And then somebody will say something else, said, "Who preached that one?" And we get them all mingling up there before you know it.
Yes.
Y'all like that? And I'm trying to think who said what. And after a while, I just said, "Well, it don't matter who said it, it was good." It was the truth. It blessed my heart. Now, we'll go over that highway talking all the way home for 3 hours. And after we get through talking about him all the way home, hearing about him all week long over here, we'll have to get up in the morning. Say, "Man, half hadn't been told. We didn't even get a good discussion started. There's more to it than that." And I'm talking about my Jesus. She's talking about Solomon. I'm talking about one greater than Solomon. Some of y'all don't believe he is, do you? He's greater than Solomon. Oh, he's a lot greater than Solomon. And so I'll get up in the morning just like some of y'all going to leave here tonight and say, "Boy, Brother Broughton didn't tell much, did he?" And if you say that, you told the truth. I really hadn't told you much tonight, because it's a lot more to him than what I'm able to tell you. And after I've preached my life and die and enter into heaven, I'll find out there's a whole lot about him I didn't know. And I'll say, "Praise God. This camp meeting ain't going to come to an end." we'll just have all eternity to find out more about him. I'm going to ask you tonight, what do you think about your Solomon? What does he mean to you? What distance would you go to hear from him, find out about him? What kind of desire do you have in your heart to know about him? Half won't be told. Y'all believe that, don't you? Amen. I want us to stand. Let's bow our heads, and we'll get the musicians up here, and I'll get Brother Richardson.